Send a movie idea.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many of your ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage where it will be viewed exclusively during the Christmas and New Year netherworld where we currently reside, to be watched by millions and remembered by none. I'm Joel, a man who puts the BO into Christmas limbo, and across from me is John Harris, a man who spends this strange week every year developing the perfect blank. John, I forgot to finish the intro. Developing the perfect go-kart. John, during Christmas limbo, John makes his entire house a dark room and just spends the time developing photos. It's frightening.
One year I'm going to get that perfect photo.
So we should be honest with the listener listening right now. We actually record it. So right now you're listening to this you could be in the bit. This has been released in the bit that we referenced on last week's episode. We're kind of the bit between Christmas and New Year, those strange few days. I think it's, what is it, the 27th? And full transparency, we actually recorded this ahead of time. And at time of recording, it's Christmas Day, isn't it, John? We're recording this on Christmas Day.
It's the only time we were both free.
I just said, I haven't got much on. You haven't got much on, so we said, let's just do it. Let's ignore our families for half an hour and let's go record the podcast.
I mean, it was weird.
What did you get for Christmas, John? What was your favourite present?
When you said, when does your family have lunch? And I said, about two. And then you said, perfect.
And then you got a FaceTime call immediately.
What was my favourite present? Probably some socks, mate. Probably some socks and some toiletries.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get some socks.
We discussed this off pod. I know it's weird to think we talk to each other when not recording. But the 3 months after Christmas is the best I smell any year because I've got the posh bath soaps and stuff like that.
My face is basically blemish free. And I really enjoy that period. And then it gets to the end of the 3 months and I think, God, I can't wait for next year. Instead of just buying myself something nice. Start the countdown to smelling good again.
Right, should we pitch some movie ideas?
Let's do some film ideas. How about this one from Rickard, Grill Bill? A former livestock farmer seeks revenge on the monstrous cow who attacked him years ago.
Now, I know that that's the wrong way round, but I want a cow in yellow spandex.
Yeah. Have you ever walked through a field of cows?
Yes.
It can be pretty scary. They're big boys.
Big units.
They're really big. They're really solid. I've always been fascinated by people that go out cow tipping, which has to be one of the UK's best hobbies.
No, pastimes.
cruelest hobbies. So one of the things you can do, if you're not from a big city, one of the best pastimes you can do is going to a field and pushing a cow over. And that's known as cow tipping. And it is obviously frowned upon. But I always thought I would never get that close to a cow.
No.
They're so big and solid and scary.
Well, I milked a cow once. But yeah, that was in controlled circumstances.
Tell me more.
Oh, it was, you know, a classic sort of work retreat thing where it's like team bonding and all that. And it was making butter from scratch. Yeah.
What? I thought you were going to say it was like a farm you went to as a kid. You milked a cow on a team bonding day out.
Yeah, made butter from scratch.
What else did you have to do? Like carve off a pig carcass?
I can't remember. It was weird.
Birth a horse.
It was back in the heady days of 2020. No, it definitely wasn't 2020.
You made butter from scratch. Was it like a team of you, or did you all have to produce butter and whoever had the best butter won?
We were in teams. It was done like a treasure trail sort of thing, like a hunt thing. And so the point was we had to make
The last clue was in the cow's udder.
We had to do like everything that we needed to get scones. So we got scones. We made the butter from scratch. We must have got jam. Also, we had to do goat yoga, which is just yoga, but there's a goat there.
But you have to follow. You have to copy the poses the goat does.
Yeah, we were on all fours for about half an hour, and then
just lots of chewing grass.
I want to hear more about this, cows.
John. So you made everything from scratch: the scone, the jam.
No, just the only thing we made from scratch.
That is so stupid. What? So they gave you a packet of scones and a jar of jam, and they're like, oh.
But I have made jam in my life.
Wow. So if
and I've made scones in my life. I think I have made scones in my life. At some point, I've made everything that we need. Yeah. Well, fair play. I haven't made cream.
You must have been team captain then. I think it's the same company. It is the same company that I have worked for, and I also did a big away day once. But it was more sort of go ape than milking a cow.
Go ape, hey-ho. Milk cow.
Go ape, milk a cow.
A former livestock, monstrous cow. There's like, you know, the crazy 88 sequence in the first one. There's a horrible sequence where she's in an abattoir just sort of slashing 88 cows. Horrible. Really horrible, actually. Wouldn't
be funny to do a one-inch punch on a cow. That's how you cow-tip. She's so good at cow-tipping, she does it with the one-inch punch.
Would you like this one from Nathan, Victoria's Secret agent? Now, I would say your first thinking like sexy Austin Powers-y sort of spy comedy, right? But I think...
Yeah, I was.
I think it should be more about like there's a crime that's taking place in a Victoria's Secret shop.
Okay.
I just think that's...
What sort of crime?
Money laundering.
Okay.
Putting the laundry into money laundering.
Nice. So it's a cash-only Victoria's Secret shop.
Yes. And oligarchs are spending millions of pounds on
They're buying a bra for £10 million pounds. Yeah. Okay. That's pretty good. And is it like James Bond or stuffy old secret agent has to get a job in Victoria's Secret?
Yes, I think so.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, because I just think that my brain is immediately going sort of, what's that one where Sandra Bullock goes to Miss Universe or whatever as an agent?
Oh, yeah.
And it's got the whole like, smart. Oh my God, she's so frumpy. How could she ever be good looking?
Yeah. I know.
That sort of.
I used to work in Debenhams as a teenager.
Yep.
And so that was a yep from John, who's so bored of hearing
stories
of my teenage jobs.
You talk about curries non-stop, but Debenhams barely gets a
looking. Debenhams doesn't get enough of a looking, actually, that's fair. And you would be on a rotation system where you do something different every hour. Maybe it was folding clothes, maybe it was working on the tills, maybe you're in the fitting rooms. And I worked from the most stolen from Debenhams in the UK.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I think it's better than being the second most stolen from Debenham.
True.
Don't you think?
It says that the stuff in there people want.
Well, it also says that it had this layout that was so funny that people could just walk in one door, take things and walk out another door within feet. It was brilliant. Anyway, see, I worked on the fitting rooms, and one of the big scams is obviously you take loads of items into the fitting room and you put them on, and then you put some your own clothes back on the hooks, and then you try and get out without people noticing.
Ooh. And
this is related back to Victoria's Secret, John, because people would do it with their pants.
That's gross.
So sometimes, now, you're not allowed to try pants on in a fitting room. That's rule number one. But they would like take in new pants, maybe hidden under a jacket they were pretending they were trying on. And then they'd leave their old pants in the fitting room. So quite often, you're just finding pooey pants.
How do you feel about that? Just layer up. Just put another pair of pants on top of your current pants.
Please. Please. Otherwise, poor 16-year-old Joel is having to deal with poo pants. And all the while I'm dealing with those, you know, they're stealing stuff from Russia, John Russia.
When you said you had to do different departments in this related to Victoria's Secret, I thought you had a story about sort of helping women fit their underwear. And I thought a teenage boy shouldn't be doing that, regardless of what rota. I just think that's bad for business.
I would have been so red-faced and embarrassed.
Yeah,
do you imagine?
Everyone would have been embarrassed.
Apologising every 3 seconds.
it's not good for business.
It's the sort of thing where a teenage boy would imagine that's their dream job, and then when push comes to shove, it'll be the most horrifying thing that had ever happened to you. Yeah.
And just if you're a woman and you're going into the underwear section of a shop and there's a teenage boy, you know, where you just turn around.
A spotty 16-year-old boy holding out a tape measure. No, I did not do that. It was more poo pants. Right. How about this one from Martin? Bandit like Beckham. The more than likely true story of the footballing legend's secret life of crime. How would David Beckham's skill set aid him in a... Well, like, Beckham's 11. There's 11 guys on the pitch.
Oh, yeah, true. He's also... correct me if I'm wrong. He's renowned for his free kicks, right? That is where he really shone. He could definitely be in the corner of the bank, sort of just doing free kicks at each camera to take him out.
That's good. You could take out all the cameras.
There's nice. Definitely been an Adidas or Nike advert at some point where they bust
rubber
a
bank.
Rubber bank using their footballing skills, right?
There must be.
That feels...
There's one
if
there
hasn't airport. Been, if that hasn't been, I'm going to go back in time 20 years and sell that for £1 million.
Nice. Have you watched the Beckham documentary? It doesn't seem to me like you would watch it because of the football, but it's really good.
I've seen... It was one that my partner was watching whilst on paternity leave, so I've seen fair chunks of it. And then she moved on to the Robbie Williams. There was a real era recently where Netflix was just sort of plumbing the 90s straight into your brain.
Yeah, and there was also, it's interesting, there was also, it was on Amazon, but there was a big Ronnie O'Sullivan documentary.
Yes.
Apparently it's amazing. So yeah, maybe there's obviously been some...
Is Ronnie O'Sullivan the snooker player who's just like so good that he's sort of bored with modern...
He's
no one is good enough to play me. This is boring.
Yeah, pretty much. He said the other day, the only reason he keeps playing is to stop other people from winning.
That is incredible.
Which is quite funny. Yeah, he said so many times he's going to quit. I really want to watch that. Apparently it's great. Yeah, so... David Beckham, Robbie Williams, and Ronnie O'Sullivan, Robert Bank. That's where we are, isn't it?
It's the early noughties. They've all sort of lost their shine a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they just need the money because they've all made some... It's today. It's today. Take it back. It's today. They've all invested in Bored Ape NFTs. All the money's gone. They need to break a bank to continue their lavish lifestyles.
Perfect.
Did you see that tweet that everyone was tweeting that was like from an NFT Twitter account that was like, this is the biggest theft in NFT history. Some of the top tier apes have been taken.
Yeah, I think it's like a meme now, is it? Like, my apes have been stolen. People kept getting their apes stolen.
I'm sorry. I'm sure it's very sad if you are an NFT person, but it does sound objectively hilarious.
It's so funny. It's so funny. It sounds so easy to steal an ape.
Whereas in real life, as we know from experience, really difficult.
It's a nightmare. And then what do you do when you got the ape?
They're not even wearing sunglasses. They're just an ape.
They're just a bloody ape.
What about this one from Oscar? Kung Fu Banda. Now, Jack Black is perfect for this, right?
Banda?
Yeah, sorry, band hyphen.
Oh, like a band.
They should make
okay. Yeah. Just a musical panda.
What I've heard, and this maybe is something that I will experience in the next few years, if I find myself watching those films, I've heard, because I've watched the first one back in the day, but I've heard the trilogy is genuinely brilliant, and by the end,
yeah, I've
like
only seen the first one,
Star Wars level amazing trilogy.
Yeah, people absolutely love it, and I was surprised because I watched the trailer for the new one, and it was mega guns. Like, they already had millions and millions and millions of views, and there seems to be loads of excitement about it online. I guess I didn't really know that as a franchise, it was a big deal, but people love it. Apparently the animation is absolutely incredible. All the performances are great. I've seen people say they're like the three greatest villains in the history of cinema across the trilogy. They're all supposed to be really fascinating. So maybe during the bit, Kung Fu Panda is another one to watch. Maybe watching the Kung Fu Panda trilogy.
That is very true. Yeah, and I guess it's just like a musical version of it. The next Kung Fu Panda film is a musical. Jack Black gets to do his rigadoo-doos, and everyone has a great time. If Jack Black's not singing in the film, you're sort of wasting him somewhat. So we've got a better film.
Perfect.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
There we go. How about this one from Beck? Gnome Alone.
Gnome Alone.
I guess it's kind of like Home Alone, but it's taking place in the garden. People are trying to get to some sort of treasure chest that's at the bottom of a pond, and the gnomes are not letting that happen.
That or, listen, hear me out, sort of like okay, fine. Sort of like the first Toy Story film. The family are moving house and all of the sort of garden ornaments have been moved, but one gnome has been left, and it's about that gnome.
Oh, perfect.
Is now alone, and that gnome has to find its way to the new house. There we go.
Ideal.
Okay. Tick. We're rattling through these. We've got that extra energy because we're in the middle of the bit.
We're in the bit. Here we are in the bit. Hey,
we're
John,
fueled
would you
by
like one?
Terry's Chocolate Orange.
John, would you like one from me?
Yes, please.
When Harry met Sally. Harry Hill and Sally Gunnell have a Freaky Friday situation. Which means that Harry Hill has to successfully compete in the 1996 Olympics and Sally Gunnell has to perform at the Royal Variety Show.
Tell me more about Sally Gunnell.
She was a track and field athlete, very good at hurdling.
Okay.
Yeah, big time. 92 Olympics is where she won gold. So she wins. So it's 1992. Harry Hill wakes up in the body of Sally Gunnell. Sally Gunnell wakes up in the body of Harry Hill. And it just so happens that the final 400 meters hurdle race is taking place at the night at the Royal Variety Show. And they've got to figure out how to, you know, smash it at both events.
I'm trying to work out, and there's some sort of morality thing about the fact that their skills have sort of informed one another and they become better performers as a result of being each other for the day. I don't know where this... It's
everyone's shocked because Sally Gunnell rolls up to the start line with a huge collar. And everyone thinks it's just going to be a nightmare for wind resistance when you're running at that speed.
And the finale of Harry Hill's performance at the Royal Variety is that he hurdles over all of the chairs. So he's just running over the crowd. It's amazing.
Perfect. There you go. It's the perfect film. How about you? What have you got for me?
Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Superhero who's obsessed with 90s Danish-Norwegian dance group goes on a mission to discover a world where everyone is still listening to bubblegum pop.
And it's happening under the sea somehow? No, because the aqua part is the music part.
Yeah, aqua is the artist.
That's the band. I get it.
Lost Kingdom. It's good stuff. Everyone's listening tonight.
Jason Momoa thinks he's the only person left on Earth still listening to Aqua and the Venga Boys, and he discovers like an underground society where that is still huge.
Exactly.
Perfect. I'm into it. I see it. I see the vision.
Cheers,
that's the last. Is that the last of the DC films before it's the new DC films?
Yeah. Oh my God. Have you seen? I think it'll be out at the point of you guys listening to this, so you will know how much it's bombed, I believe. But like, yeah, in interviews, Jason Momoa's like, not looking good, which is a nuts
really?
Thing for the star to say. Yeah, he was like,
wow.
He's like, yeah, I'd love to come back as Aquaman, but you know, people have to go see the film and it's not looking good.
Oh shit. But maybe that's a clever way of getting people to go.
True.
I don't know.
The thing is, if you're into sort of nerdy stuff, he is basically confirmed as playing Lobo, which is another DC character who basically already looks exactly like. For a long time, it's been like everyone says, oh, he's the perfect casting for Lobo. I think he's shown interest in playing Lobo. And he did a video where he's like, oh, I've just had a meeting with James Gunn. I'm the happiest man. I can't wait. So everyone just thinks that he is now Lobo in James Gunn's DCU.
Right. Okay. Who the hell is Lobo?
He's a very 90s.
Oh, yeah,
90s
he looks exactly like him.
Yeah. He's like a very 90s looking superhero, like painted Kiss makeup almost, and big red eyes and huge hair. And he looks like a biker. The first Aquaman made over $1 billion, and this one is going to, I don't know how much, it's going to be fascinating to see.
Wow.
But I guess that happened with Captain Marvel and the Marvels. There's just, we are at a point where I think people aren't bothering anymore.
Yeah, people aren't bothered.
Anyway, this isn't the bit where we talk about stuff. This is the bit where we pick a movie that we thought was the best one.
Yes. Okay. Which one was your favourite, John? I was kind of into Grill Bill. I won't lie.
Yep. Grill Bill. Congratulations, Rickard. You win. Here is some cold turkey and sausage meat stuffing.
What a lovely treat. Hey, well done, John.
Thank you. Well done, Joel. We did it. We've made it through the year.
We got through the year. Another big year in the history of the Dream Factory podcast.
I messaged you saying, shall we do... Because at this time of year, lots of people do like years in reviews, and I quite like that. And I thought, let's do a little mini year in review to end this episode. And so I said film, TV show, and album, but I didn't say podcast, but you recommended Matt Crosby and Ed Gamble last week. But I would say, if you'd allow me, I think we have a case to be made that we have a podcast pick of Ghost Story is probably the podcast that we both enjoyed the most, right?
The, absolutely amazing. Yeah, fine. Phenomenal. Would recommend that to anyone.
So take me through your three recommendations.
Okay, so here's the thing. When you asked for this, it dawned on me that maybe I hadn't listened to a new album this year, which is bad and probably indicative of how old I am. And also was really noticeable by the fact that I think my Spotify Wrapped was exactly the same as last year. I'm pretty sure they sent me the same thing. They were like, oh, we can save some time on this guy because it's the same as it was last year. But I liked the new Blur album, so that's probably a pick. And I've got a soft spot for Olivia Rodrigo as well. So those are two albums that I think I listened to this year and enjoyed. Films? I think Barbie might be my favourite film that I've seen this year.
I finally saw that the other day and that was going to be my pick as well.
So good. I really liked Oppenheimer as well. I'm sure there's loads of other films I've seen, but those two come to mind as films. I find it really hard when it's film of the year to think of films that didn't release in the cinema. Is that strange? I know that films are available on streaming services now, and I have watched lots of films on streaming services, but they don't really enter my head as contenders for film of the year. I don't know why that is, but yeah, it just doesn't seem right.
I think that's fair, and I think there's an element of... Look, we haven't seen Rebel Moon as of yet, Joel, so this, you know... We're holding off our top spot.
It could be egg on our faces come next week.
I assume everyone in the bit is watching it twice or three times.
We're all watching Rebel Moon, and we're all starting the social media campaign for the director's cut.
I would say it is tough, though. I do think streaming services haven't released films on the same, you know, level as in the multiplex, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah, definitely not. Like, I felt the Barbie and Oppenheimer thing was a massive deal in the summer. It was like a huge cultural moment. It was great. And I went and watched both of them, and I love both of them. And then in terms of TV, The Last of Us, I thought was brilliant. Dave, one of my favorite shows of the last few years. Series 2 was incredible, and the series finale is ridiculous. Brad Pitt's in it.
Whoa.
It's fantastic. The cameos in that show are amazing, and none of them ever feel like they're just crowbarred in. They all seem to serve a purpose. And I Think You Should Leave, which is maybe my favorite show in the world. It's just a phenomenal sketch show, and I think it's three series now, and there are some all-timers straight away in the first episode of series three. It's just so brilliant. It's so, so brilliant.
It's really that sort of humor, that sort of ridiculous humor is really tough to get right, and there are loads of people who do it, and I just don't find... I think it's really embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And there is just some people who can do it perfect, and there's something about Tim Robinson, he's just so funny.
Just an image of Tim Robinson makes me laugh so much. Like, he's just got one of those faces. So those would be my picks. How about you, John?
So the album that I've listened to the most from this year is Gigi's Recovery, which is the Murder Capital, who are this Irish post-punk band. They are brilliant. The album is excellent, and I would definitely recommend that. And then I've sort of got the same choices. So Barbie is the best film I saw this year, I'd say.
Yeah.
Greta Gerwig is 3 for 3 in my opinion. So Lady Bird, Little Women, and Barbie are like...
She's a genius. That absolutely is amazing.
Yeah. People will look back, I think, and be like, that is just an incredible run. And
I was thinking this the other day. Surely she, like, the offers she has right now are just ridiculous. I bet it's everything.
But you know, she's doing everything. A Netflix Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, right? Which terrifies me, because I'm really scared that will break her streak. If there's anyone who can do it, it's her, though, because in you know, Greta we trust, because she hasn't gone wrong yet. So fingers crossed for that. And then the TV show, I thought The Last of Us as well, and I was thinking that it might not come up in a lot of conversations because it was so early in the year, but it was the best. I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about the famous third episode, and I remember everyone at the time going on about how incredible this episode was, and I was so like, it was, there was so much hype around it, and then I thought, yeah, it was really good. But then now that all the dust has settled, hearing clips from that episode, I was just like in pieces. I was like, that is, I forgot how amazing that episode of Tally is. Really, it's amazing, just unbelievable. Really amazing.
Like, surely we'll just be an all-time episode of TV. Like, it will come up in years and years and years when they do the lists of greatest ever TV episodes. Yeah, amazing. 100%. Phenomenal. So go and enjoy all of those things. You've got loads of time. It's the bit. And we'll be back next week in 2024.
Bye.
Cheers, John.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.